For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Everyone, welcome to edition 207 of the NRF1 podcast, your Formula One podcast recorded right here in Norfolk, UK, and brought to you by our very proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up to the game by visiting nrf1.uk or gpro.net/nrf1. If you haven't done, and we're now in October, go do it. My name is sports journalist Michael Bailey, and in this podcast we are going to preview the 2017 USA Grand Prix. In this pod, all the nitty-gritty to expect from Austin, all the changes ahead of the weekend, and all the speculation as the season approaches its climax. Joining us for the pod fun are two times Beccles kart champion Kyle Cumbers.
Good evening.
Damon Hill fanatic Richard Baxter.
Good evening.
Richard Baxter's other half, Druty.
Hiya.
I said I'd get you on the podcast. And budding F1 correspondent Callum Springle.
Good evening.
There is everyone. How are we all, everyone? Better than me, I hope, Kyle?
Not too bad. You're not so good?
Well, I'm okay. Just a bit distressed from getting back from Ipswich. I've been in Jolyon Palmer country.
How is Ipswich?
Fine. I don't know. I think Jolyon lives in Clapham now, doesn't he? So he wasn't down in Ipswich. But he may have, you know, gone to Suffolk for a break.
Could do. Will he be there this weekend for the big derby, do you reckon?
Oh, I wondered if you meant he'll be in Austin. I've just said Kyle, sorry. But he has got a free weekend.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking.
So yeah. It's a big choice. Maybe he will be at Portman Road for the big derby. That's a big choice, isn't it, really? Austin or Ipswich. Yeah, see what he comes up with. Good, Rich, well?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I was just going to say maybe that'll decide whether he goes in the NRF1 Hall of Fame or not, depending who he supports on Sunday.
Yeah, this is true. We have to be very careful about what he does from here on in, both in terms of his motorsport career and his... I suppose he will have to go in the Hall of Fame, having, I don't know, tenuous links, his dad owns Snetterton. His dad owns Snetterton, Callum. Big. It's big, isn't it? That's big enough. Callum, how are you?
Reasonably good.
Reasonably
really anything
good.
Anything to write home about, so...
That well. Good. I like that. Right. Well, before we get stuck in, apologies. There is no news podcast this week. We're all going out for the evening after this, so we're a bit short of time. But, of course, it is back-to-back races as well, so we'll have some news podcasts later on in the month, probably. But we'll try and touch on some of the big stories later on in this very podcast as well. So keep listening. But let's start off with the USA, shall we? Now, let's be realistic here. Has the wind been taken out of our sails after what happened in Japan?
Yeah, and I think that's probably why most people saw the Japanese Grand Prix as sort of pretty average, because from lap two, we all knew that the championship's heading to Mr. Hamilton. So, but you never know. It could be a good race this weekend, and if Hamilton has a DNF, there's still the slightest possibility, and I'm very slightest. Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, that would be good if we were heading to somewhere where maybe Lewis always struggled, wouldn't it, Rich?
Well, yeah, he has done notoriously well in America. Of course, he won the world championship there in 2015. Yeah, 2015.
And he could win it there this year? Couldn't he?
If Vettel finishes sixth or lower or something like that, then Hamilton wins it. And yeah, if Hamilton wins, then he wins the championship. Vettel's sixth or lower or whatever. But if the Ferrari works, then... You'd think it would be on the podium at least, so.
Cool, you'd like to think so, wouldn't you? Lewis has won four of the five races in Austin since it arrived on the Formula One calendar, Callum. He likes it.
Yeah, you can't really bet against him, to be honest. So, yeah, as Rich said, if the Mercedes works, then you can't really back anybody else to win.
Do you like this track?
It's not really
authentic. He's ruffling his nose, by the way, for the purposes of the microphone.
It's not particularly authentic, because it's just... Like, has everyone made a big deal about, like, there is some Spa, there is some Silverstone, there's some Malaysia, Turkey. Does that not make it in itself a gimmick?
Ped, can we get Ped on the phone? I don't think Ped will call this a gimmick. I think he quite likes it. Rich, like
I don't
this?
Mind the racing. It's just it's a little bit phony.
Yeah, I know what Callum means 100%. Where they've taken inspiration from other racetracks rather than coming up with something unique. But to be honest, the track itself I do love. I think it's probably, I don't know, history back, you know, far enough back in the 80s in Formula One to know for sure, but I'd say it's probably the biggest crowds we've seen continuously coming to Formula One because it's just it's purpose-built for Formula One. Because we had a few problems a while ago and there was a bit of a dust storm and there was some fog and a helicopter wasn't there, so they had to stop practice and qualifying, whatever it was at that point. But it's, I always like the race there. It's always entertaining. And I do like the racetrack itself.
I mean, we shouldn't mock Austin for having that trait because, of course, Snetterton has the Montreal hairpin and a copy of Parabolica 2 as well, I think. So it was literally real. It was literally rebuilt out of other corners from other tracks.
Yeah, I really like it. I sort of like the bit after turn one, the sort of various left and rights. And also it seems to create good racing. So the only problem I have is there's too much runoff area, but that's just modern F1 and modern tracks.
We've been spoiled by Suzuka, I suppose, haven't we?
Yes, true, yeah, where, you know, mistakes were punished.
Indeed they were. It's probably worth flagging up just on Snetterton that if you go along on Sunday and you're not really fussed about the derby here in football, there is a Ford event with lots of Ford cars going around and people getting track days, but there's also a couple of F1 demos of past Formula One cars, so well worth taking in if you're in the vicinity of Snetterton, which I guess, you know, a lot of our listeners aren't, but if you are or you fancy popping across and go take it in. You're going to take your Mustang down to Snetterton, Rich?
I have been thinking about it. It needs a clean desperately.
That won't stop it going quickly.
No,
it might even clean it. The extra air resistance.
it's kind of embarrassing driving around in a car like that that's really dirty. I mean, sometimes you could pass kids who are looking at it. Although the other day, just a bit of a sidebar here, but we were going out of the city when all the football fans were heading in, and probably a 10-year-old kid stuck his middle finger up at the car with his foam hand. So
he had a foam hand that had a middle finger.
Yeah, I think it had like five fingers.
So he did still select the middle finger.
Yeah, okay.
It wasn't just automatically a middle finger foam hand.
No, but
I'd imagine they'd sell quite well. But
it might have been because the car's blue, and of course. It was switch related.
I mean, did you think about getting a yellow and green one? Was that a possibility? Or a racing green one? Do they do them in racing green?
They do a yellow one, but that was an extra £795.
Got to pay for quality, Rich. You know it works. It looked more like a Lotus, you see, so that's why you have to pay for it. It is back-to-back races, isn't it, this week? We've got Mexico immediately after the US. It does really feel like this is crunch time, doesn't it? This could all happen very, very quickly.
It's already happened, hasn't it?
Oh, I'm just trying to... Yes, it has, Callum. All right, well, what's keeping you enthralled then? We've got two big races coming up. What's exciting about it, Callum? What's got you on the edge of your seat? Has anything got you on the edge of your seat?
Just someone can win, I guess.
So, okay, well, Grand Prix winners, that's good. How about you, Carl? What's keeping you going?
In sport, anything can happen. So, you know,
yes!
You never know. But
hey, Callum.
But, you know, we might see something crazy happen, you know? And also, it's interesting to see Kvyat coming back and... the blonde bombshell, Hartley.
Should we get stuck into this now then? Is that what he's officially called, or have you just started
I just
in that?
I named him that. Yeah.
This is Brendon, not Brandan or Branden, or but I think it's Brendon. I've written here Brendon. Brendon Hartley. There we go. The blonde bombshell. Apparently, is he blonde? He is sort of blonde.
Yes, I just remember because when he first sort of hanging around Red Bull garages, he had sort of quite long-ish blonde hair.
Hey, we've got worse names for other drivers. So. The blonde bombshell, Brendon Hartley. I've probably been calling him Harley. Hartley will be in the Toro Rosso alongside Daniil Kvyat for this race, which is just mouthwatering in a lot of wrong ways, probably.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel sorry for Kvyat, and I don't know what he's going to gain from this, and I feel he just needs to leave Red Bull and start a career possibly elsewhere.
Still in motorsport?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Just checking. But yeah, it'd be good to see Hartley. He sort of dropped quite a while ago, but he's had a sort of decent career in world endurance. Le Mans winner as well, we'd like to include that.
Yeah. The Nico Hülkenberg school of career progression.
It'd also just be Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he was their first choice. I imagine...
Literally, who else was there? I mean, I was thinking, me and Callum are both going to reply, weren't we, Callum?
But, I mean, Remy, but I don't know if that's... Because he's Renault contracted, I don't know if that affected it. And also, it's Porsche now leaving, I suppose. That's doing him a bit of a favour to help his career. So, yeah, just be interesting to see how he gets on. It'll be a tough weekend for him, but... Just Kvyat's got to beat him. If Kvyat doesn't beat him...
Woof. I mean, not only that, we are literally going to have a rogue Daniil Kvyat. That's the best bit, isn't it? He's going to be rogue. Where was Brendan Hartley's name on your list of possible Toro Rosso replacement drivers, Callum?
It wasn't actually on there.
I'd forgotten about him entirely. If I ever knew about him in the first place, I can't really be sure.
But probably should have seen it coming.
Don't worry.
He's just immediately face-palmed as soon as they... announced it.
Not at all. So is this a good decision, do you think?
Yeah, because you know he's had a pretty good career in the WEC. I think he's been a world champion, I think it was last year. So yeah, the guy's obviously got talent, and he was quite good in single seaters as well. So surely if he matches Kvyat, then he could be in the car next year.
If he matches Kvyat, I mean, that's the point, isn't it? Because of course Pierre Gasly is doing his bit for Honda. Good for him. He's the only person who's done Honda a favour in about 4 years. So someone had to go and do it. That's why he's racing in Super Formula, to go and presumably win the championship. I mean, if he completely fucks that up, that would be quite sad, wouldn't it?
Would anyone really care?
Like, Honda would care, Callum.
He's going to be in F1 in next year anyway, so it's not really going to make any difference.
So therefore, it's Hartley with a good chance of staking claim for the other Toro Rosso seat. Because presumably Hartley gets this race, and then after that it's back to Kvyat and Gasly.
Presumably. But if he does do a good job, then you can only ask the question.
Have they actually said officially what it is, what the situation is, or are they literally going by race race by race at the moment?
I'm not too sure. I think it seems race by race, doesn't it? So, but I don't know, is there any sort of same-day races with World Endurance or Formula One calendar? I'm not too... Because how many World Endurance races are left?
A couple. Only one. They've just had the one in Fuji, so I think the last race is normally in Bahrain.
We will wait and see, and I'm sure people who are listening to this know exactly what's happening, and will please tell us, please let us know. Of course, the other side of this is Renault, isn't it, Rich, where Carlos Sainz is going to be parachuted into that car, where, you know, a little JP was written on the seat. It will actually now be Carlos's seat, and strange situation for him because he's getting an early shot at what is a pretty decent move and a really good little change in direction for his career, and he's now got to prove himself in another car in four races.
It all seems a very strange situation. Just kind of think, I kind of understand, you know, they're letting Gasly go to try and win his championship, getting someone else in who they think is, you know, good enough to get points and everything. But then it also seems kind of strange, if that's the case, why would you not just delay it and say, okay, you keep, you know, Renault keep Palmer for now, we'll keep Sainz. You know, instead of having to draft another guy in who's going to have two practice sessions to get used to a Formula One car, you know, because obviously these new cars are completely different to the last ones he drove. It seems just a bit, in some ways, a bit of a shambles from Toro Rosso to, it's like they might as well just call a raffle and give everyone a chance of winning a seat.
We could be in, Callum. We could be in. I mean, that's a fair point, isn't it? Because again, Carlos sitting in that Renault car, it's going to be a completely different car come next year.
Yeah, and you know, he's going to have races to get used to it. But is he going to immediately match Hülkenberg? Yeah, I'd be impressed if he did in a whole new car. But when you're going into a race weekend and you've got this whole new steering wheel to learn as well, it's going to be quite a big thing, because I suppose most drivers have had pre-season at least to get used to it. You know, it's got all steering wheels, because they're so complicated. They've all got differences, haven't they? So I suppose it's a good job the mechanics now can tell their driver what to do if needed, because under the old rules, well, they couldn't. I think he'd be in for quite a difficult time if there was any problems.
No, it's a great point, that. I suppose on the quiet he may have been having a little look at what the Renault situation was. I'm sure he won't be completely blind, but how he does compare to Nico Hülkenberg will be very interesting.
Yeah, as I say, if he matches the Hulk, then doesn't look too good for Hülkenberg. But I suppose,
but good for Carlos. Good for Carlos.
Yeah, I suppose also Sainz can sort of get relationship with engineers going the last four races, which will benefit him going into next year as well. So he might as well have a go and see, you know, get it going.
See what happens. Best way for it. Okay. Okay, well, we always like to ask this question. Most important weekend for... I mean, yes, Lewis, yes, Mercedes, yes. I mean, we've probably touched on everything, but anything away from the obvious that's going to catch our eye?
Danny Ric.
Yes.
Max has beat him convincingly in the last two races. So,
well worth listening to the last podcast, by the way, because we had some great insight there, I think, on the thoughts of... that was our Japanese Grand Prix review.
So, yeah, he just needs to bounce back and beat Max. Especially, I just saw the comments from Christian Horner saying how Max can sort of build the team at Red Bull around him. And
they were Christian's quotes.
Yes. Yeah.
I saw the quotes. I hadn't realised they'd actually come from the team principal. Yeah. Ouch. I mean, how would Danny Ric feel about that?
Yeah, he's trying to suggest that he shouldn't go to Ferrari or Mercedes and he could build a team around Red Bull.
I'm sure he was, but...
From Danny Ric's point of view, like, oh, why do...
Imagine it, if you were at that team and your boss is saying, oh, it's a great opportunity for Max to build a team around you, he'd be like, well, this then.
Especially also, team principal should say, well, both cars are equal and we treat both the same and listen to both drivers, and sort of suggest that Max should build it around him. Yeah,
I'm amazed those quotes came from Christian Horner. How about that?
I'm sure it was Gacy.
I trust your car, that's all right, I trust you. Good shout, that. Rich?
That is really interesting, because it kind of questions if Ricciardo decides, I don't like those quotes, and he decides to move elsewhere, because is it end of next season is out of contract?
I think that's right.
It could be interesting to see if Ferrari or someone coming through.
Well, you'd think it would raise their little ears to, you know, Ferrari and whoever.
But then it was said as well before about Vettel having in his contract... about having some clause about not being teammates with Hamilton, I think, wasn't it?
Or a veto on any driver that could join the team, supposedly.
He's not going to want Daniel Ricciardo after the last time they were teammates, so he got absolutely blown out of the water.
Yeah, that's it. After seeing him, you know, what happened at Red Bull, whether Vettel just got bored of being there or something, I don't know. But
anything pricking your attention, so to speak, Callum, ahead of the weekend?
Oh, with the EU law thing.
Unpick this for us.
Basically, when I was waiting outside, saw on motorsport.com that apparently there's like an EU legislation against like traffic collisions, things like that, which could apparently apply to motorsport. So if there's a crash at a racetrack, then there has to be like a police investigation into it. So that could allegedly grind up to a halt all motorsport in Europe.
Hooray! Now, I imagine, like most things, someone will come up with a way around it. There's no way that's going to happen, I'm convinced.
The stick that they're going to beat the European Commission with is just job losses and business loss.
They'll make sure that doesn't happen. I've double-checked. They're definitely Christian Horner's quotes, Kyle, so don't worry. Should we read them out? Let's just read what he said. Christian said... I think he can see the strength and depth of the team. Christian on Max, of course. He feels comfortable in the team. He's the youngest Grand Prix winner. He's the youngest double winner. He's the youngest point scorer. And Lewis is pretty set at Mercedes. Seb has signed for 3 years at Ferrari. The obvious thing is to build a team around you, but it's down to us to provide him with a competitive car.
Maybe there was after Jos's comments the other day about how brilliant Red Bull are, maybe his... Trying to back Max as well, just to try and keep him in that car for the future, maybe.
The sands are shifting. That's the sense I'm getting very much. Force India will be interesting, won't it? Should we have another little look at Force India? Because the Ocon, Perez, they're quite tight in the championship, aren't they, at the moment? Have I got that right or wrong? There seems to be a little bit of an interesting situation between those two. Rich, can you bring us up to speed?
In the Drivers' Championship, Perez is on 82 points and Ocon is 65. So... 17 points.
17 points, four races to go? Possible?
Yeah, I mean, we're sort of finishing sixth and seventh. That's quite a lot of points to gain, I suppose. But
All it will take is a DNF from either of them, the other one to get decent points. It's going to be much closer.
I mean, I'm definitely not just trying to talk this up, obviously.
Yeah, it seems quite a big difference. Feels like quite a big difference, but they feel a lot closer on track. Well, they're always together pretty much on track, aren't they? So I suppose all that takes into account Ocon. Starting the year, we only had half a season, so
Either way, Ocon's had a great season. I think we'll definitely be talking about that when we review all the action and goings on.
Hello everyone, this is Jake Humphrey here. You're listening to the best Formula One podcast from the best county in the world, the NRF1 podcast. And I wasn't paid any money to say that.
No, I did give you some beers.
So, thank you for it. We've had some really good emails. We haven't quite got the time to go through them today, sadly, but they're all in the pot. And when we get to the point where we've got a two-week break between races, we'll get stuck into them. Great things about driver lineups and engine formula and all these sort of things. We'll get properly stuck into them at the next possible chance. And if you've got anything else you want us to discuss or pick apart, then send the emails too, and we'll make a special case of it, and we'll definitely get it all discussed. I did want to have any other business. Kyle, you're excited. You're our tyres man, generally, and you're very excited about what's going to be seen in Austin.
Yes, for the breast cancer campaign, they're replacing the purple ultra soft paint on the outside of the tyre with pink. So that's always very exciting, you know. And also, it looked very good on the Force India.
Oh, goodness me. It'll just be like a pink car and tyres. I wonder if that ever gets to the point where the actual rubber will be coloured.
That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it?
That'd be awesome. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
In the lock-ups, you'll just see all this coloured smoke go everywhere.
It'd be like something out of Back to the Future. It'd be so good. Now, where are we with the Williams test? Because am I right in thinking that Robert Kubica had his test with Williams? And he was he's in a direct shootout at the moment, isn't he, with Paul de Resta and Felipe Massa for the other Williams seat? Is that kind of where we are?
I think so. Yeah, I think he had his test. Was it last week? I think he had his test. I didn't hear anything. I think it's very private test.
He did it. That's it.
Yeah, I have no idea if he actually did at all well. But I think, yeah, Dres has got a test coming up. I can't even remember where or when. So, yeah, it'll be for sure interesting to see who comes out on top in that.
It will. And Felipe Massa has been on the airwaves saying, well, give me the seat. Why would you give anyone else a seat? I know I retired, but don't worry about that. I'm great.
Yeah, he's saying, oh, what can you learn from driving that car and stuff? And, well...
Well, that's probably why Felipe should retire, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he's hanging around for too long. But yeah, it'd be interesting, because sort of the Wehrlein rumours sort of popped up again, and apparently he's not completely out of the shot for that. But yeah, it just seems a bit shame that Williams are sort of just scraping the barrels, probably a bit too harsh. But yeah, it's a shame they're sort of waiting for everybody else to sort the business out, and then they can sort theirs, and yeah.
Presumably Lance Stroll is well in there. He won't be going anywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
He's literally bankrolling the team.
Yeah. I love it. Yeah, you kind of worry that Mr. Stroll's involvement is a bit too big in Williams, but, you know, hopefully they're not making decisions based on drivers. Because apparently they wouldn't let Kubica to test, because I think they bought this 2014 car that they test, and they wouldn't allow him to test after one of the previous Grand Prix, so...
Hmm. Yeah. All right.
Don't
mess with Williams. Yeah. It's like the brand. Anything else we want to touch on, Rich? Any other business from your good self?
I had a brilliant thing arrive in the post the other day. You may have seen.
Yes.
But the tickets to the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix came through.
Yes.
Looks very exciting. The tickets itself, just opening them up, the artwork in it is brilliant. It's amazingly done. And get the included for free was the Thursday pit walk as well. So,
well, I hope we're going to get lots of video and pictures and everything.
Where are you sitting?
On the hill, the Abu Dhabi hill. We didn't go for grandstand tickets because they're a bit more expensive. But
so after the first sort of sector.
Yeah. That sort of... From turn two down to turn six. So basically, all the way down to the hairpin, and then there's a cut up the straight. So. Should be quite interesting to see them go through there at speed.
Oh, lovely. Well, you can compare it to what we saw at Silverstone. Get videos, pictures, a lot, Rich. You'll be working. Druta, you're going as well, aren't you?
I am.
What's what are you looking forward to most?
The sun. The warmth.
Yes. Ferrari World?
Ferrari World.
Ferrari World. Sounds amazing.
I think it will be.
Can you hire a Ferrari while you're there? Is that the plan?
We're going to try and get on... what's his name? The guy's yacht.
You're going to try and get on a guy. Hang on, are you supposed to be revealing this, Treaty? Okay. Whose yacht are you going on, Rich?
You know Vijay Mallya?
Not personally, but yeah.
No, but you know who he owns Force India.
Yes.
So, he has a yacht. So I'm hoping that someone will have the keys to his yacht and park it there.
Okay.
And because Druti's family are Indian, I just thought that if you turn up with someone Indian, they might just let you in. So we're just going to try and get on...
That was my whole invitation. Would you come along so I can get on this yacht?
Oh, well, if it happens, they need to know. And if you try, we definitely need to know.
Well, he won't be there, so you can take his place.
Exactly, yeah.
Why not?
Why not? Okay, let's move on from that. But, well, good luck with that bit anyway. Right, I think on that note, we'll wrap up the podcast. Social media channels, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. The handles are at the... I don't know if that's good or not. Twitter, Instagram and Facebook at the NRF1 are the other handles on social media. Oh, Lord. We have lots of chances for you to interact, subscribe, support us, sign up, whatever you want to do. Just visit nrf1.uk. Betting tips? Carl, do you fancy doing some of those? Or is there anything left to bet on anymore?
That could be a slight problem. I imagine Hamilton's pretty short on the odds to win. So, yeah. But I'll have a look and see if there's anything.
If there's anything worthwhile, they'll be on the website, Tom, man. But please take a look at the website, nrf1.uk. And also, you can get in touch with us, nrf1podcast@gmail.com. We really do love getting your emails, and we're definitely going to have them involved before the season is done. So get your comments and questions in and discussion points, and we will give them the full treatment. That's it. Time for goodbyes. We will be back in a moment. But for now, thanks very much, Kyle.
Cheerio.
Thank you, Drew T.
Bye.
Thanks, Rich.
Good evening.
Thank you very much, Callum.
Thank you.
Thank you to our proud partners, Grand Prix Racing Online. You can sign up at gpro.net/nrf1. This has been the NRF1 podcast. Our second podcast of the week will be with you very shortly as we predict all the fun and games in Austin. Until then, a very good night.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.